This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, February 28th. Quick, just to finish up, and then we'll go to the phones. The administrative state connection, the operative phrase here is, or the operative, I guess, phrase is, however mistaken its exercise. So you go back to the 1875 Farmers and Mechanics Bank versus Deering case, and the peculiar phrase, when the state creates rights, and this gets to the heart of the administrative state discussion. The problem with the administrative state is, that it's man deciding for man, and there's always the death cult ideology, an element of eliminationism in it somewhere, creating disparities. I wanted to play a Jordan Peterson clip or two today with regard to all of this talk, but as Jordan Peterson has noted, poverty doesn't necessarily breed crime, but relative poverty, as he puts it, or disparities, I would say. The administrative state creates unnatural disparities. Anyway, that's a side issue too. But 1875 Farmers Mechanics Bank versus Deering case. The peculiar phrase seems to trace back to that case. I'm not aware of any prior to that case, but the phrase is, when the state creates rights, which is weird. That concept is anathema in American lexicon, generally speaking. Orthodox, constitutional American lexicon, if you will. So when the state creates rights in individuals against itself, it is not bound to provide a remedy in the courts. What? And it may withhold all remedy, or it may provide an administrative remedy and make it exclusive, however mistaken its exercise. And this is a peculiar phrase indeed, but in 1919, Justice Brandeis cited the pieces of that phrase and several cases referencing those pieces, but he prefaced those citations with the words, "These general rules are well settled." That was 1919. That was 100 years ago. That was even before the Administrative Procedure Act, which formalized and institutionalized all of that. Senator Pat McCarran saying, Senate Bill 7, which became the Administrative Procedure Act, is a Bill of Rights. So you take that concept, that peculiar phrase, and again, the operative phrase is, however mistaken its exercise, and you fast forward to R.J. Pistretto's piece, The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government. Brilliant piece. He quotes Gary Lawson, which is brilliant. His piece published in Harvard Law Review back in the 90s, The Rise and Rise of the Administrative State. But citing the FCC, and, you know, I'll say this and then we'll go to the phone. So Pistretto cites Lawson on the FCC as an example, you know, of the destruction of separation of powers. And R.J. Pistretto writes, administrative agencies routinely combine all three governmental functions in the same body and even in the same people within that body. His example here is the FCC, or excuse me, the FTC, Federal Trade Commission. And so Gary Lawson wrote, and he quotes Gary Lawson, but Gary Lawson wrote back in the 90s, this is how administrative agencies work. That's the point. So when Alan Greenspan said at the same time this article was published, you know, since the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, the relationship between the Fed chair and the president don't really matter. Don't frankly matter. Independent agency. Independent from what? And whom? So Gary Lawson wrote, the commission... And you can substitute any federal agency, any independent agency here. The commission promulgates substantive rules of conduct. The commission then considers whether to authorize investigations into whether the commission's rules have been violated. If the commission authorizes an investigation, the investigation is conducted by the commission, which reports its findings to the commission. If the commission thinks that the commission's findings warrant an enforcement action, the commission issues a complaint. The commission's complaint that a commission rule has been violated is then prosecuted by the commission and adjudicated by the commission. The commission adjudication can either take place before the full commission or before a semi-autonomous administrative law judge, a term of art. If the commission chooses to adjudicate before an administrative law judge rather than before the commission and the decision is adverse to the commission can appeal to the commission. Now, you take that. And the destruction of separation of powers, this agency, like all other independent agencies, acting as judge, jury, and executioner, as, you know, combining powers of all three branches, executive, legislative, and judicial in one branch. You put that together with the 60 Minutes piece on the opioid epidemic crisis, you know, so-called, in America that I talked about on Tuesday. 60 Minutes. You know, video, the clip that we played on Tuesday, and the corruption, not just in the pharmaceutical industry, but the FDA and federal agencies being bought off in precisely the fashion that Andrew Jackson warned us about almost 200 years ago, meaning it's no surprise. And you combine that with, you know, again, the fact that we know the FCC is soft-pedaling, specious numbers on wireless pollution, essentially, electromagnetic frequency pollution. And then you take all of that information over to the EPA discussion from the article, USA Today article that I mentioned earlier. The EPA says, EPA regulates pesticide growers' use on crops grown for human food and setting limits called tolerances on how much may remain on in or on food. You take all of that, put it together, and what do you come up with? What I come up with is, you know, you read statements like the EPA said in an email, adding the EPA has so far concluded that glyphosate is not likely to be carcinogenic. Okay, based on what? You know, the EPA found no meaningful risk to human health, including infants and children, when the product is used according to the pesticide label. Uh-huh. Right. And so 9,000 lawsuits later, banned in 27 countries later, you know, administrative state, however mistaken its exercise, graft, greed, corruption. You take all of that together, and what do you come away with? That's, you know, kind of a rhetorical question, but maybe not. Hopefully that makes sense. To the phones, Pat in Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Hi. Well, I was thinking of animal farm and how some pigs are more equal than others. Isn't that the way yeah. it really works?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well said.
Well, you were on the vaccines, and I thought about something I heard years ago when they said that they used to use the blood of a crab. Now, maybe I shouldn't talk yet too early. I forgot the name of the crab. But anyway, it's blue blood. It's blue blood.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the crab, it's a horseshoe crab. And they said that they used to get them up north, and then that they were water was contaminated or something like that. And so I started checking into that. And I don't think that's true, because I used to down there in Panama City Beach see baby horseshoe crabs on skeletons on the beach. So where there's babies, there's something else out there, you know. So where they came up with that is, I think it's because it costs a fortune, and the horseshoe crabs are huge, like a foot. You can go on the internet real easy and look at all that, blow your mind. They're about mm-hmm. a foot long, you know, and a bunch of people said, don't bleed them to death, just put them back out there or whatever. But it is amazing that they have something in their blood. If there's 1 trillionth or something of a contamination, that their blood will clot it. And they must have machines that find the clots, you know. And they used to have to use rabbits to see if there was anything wrong with the vaccine or whatever, you know. But they're really using it in all the medical fluids right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how people run to the doctor all the time if they get a sore throat or ER.
So, in spite of the fact that, you know, not too long ago, most people had a healthy skepticism about doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's almost called medical establishment worship, really, you know, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I know you should go early. I have worked. I retired out of the medical field as a medical technologist, so I know how you can catch things early and help. But they don't really seem to be doing that. I mean, it's just,
well,
I don't know. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, again, I mean, the clip that we played of Daniel Nettis included, I think, if memory serves, the excerpt of him saying, maybe not, maybe that was a little bit before the excerpt we played, but, you know, he said when he was talking about the issue of vaccines and so forth, detoxifying the body's ability to detoxify is essential for health, and when you can't do that, obviously you're creating an unhealthy environment, an environment that is an opportunity for disease. And again, I mean, that's exactly what the research by Dr. Stephanie Seneff and others indicates that glyphosate and vaccines combine to do. So glyphosate is designed to be that kind of destructive force. And the argument that we heard historically was that, you know, it attacks bacteria and we're cells, but we have gut bacteria and it's essential for life, and glyphosate attacks it and creates that kind of unhealthy environment prevents the body from detoxifying.
With probiotics, we're putting healthy things back in, aren't we? I remember when you took a vaccine, they told you to drink buttermilk or something after that. Now they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why? Maybe the vaccine kills everything there, too. I don't really know. But I still go by the way they used to do it, and that would be... Mm-hmm. You know, take a live, eat live yogurt if you go take a vaccine.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, yeah. I'm not a doctor, so I don't want to get into that. but they are using the crab blood, and they are using it for medical things, and maybe, you know, with so many people not really realizing they need more water than they need to listen to Dr. Jennifer Daniels, drink more water. That's the truth. Yeah. We do. And, now you got to take a water pill. No, that's not the same thing. Reason you need to drink. But I just wanted to say to watch out for something in a conspiracy-minded world, okay? I jump in sometimes. There's a couple of guys who are on this anti-vaccine wagon. And one of them is named James Dale Davidson. And the other one is named Lewis something, K. Euler. U-H-L-E-R. And back in the early 90s or before that, they were out to get a constitutional convention. And it was on the balanced budget amendment, because all you need is, I think, 36 states calling for one, and it's automatic according to Article 5 of the Constitution. Well, they thought they had 34. I guess they still do, because I guess you can't rescind the call, although several states have. But I see them yelling. One of them is the National Taxpayers Association, and the other one is something like that. I can't. National Taxpayers Union or something like that. So here we have AOC yelling about how we should tax people 70-90%, whatever she says, you know. And then everybody knows that their local people are raising taxes because they're wasting money, you know, giving their relatives jobs and things like that. So they do want a constitutional convention. And I've been noticing that they're getting on the health wagon now, those two. And they,
interesting observation.
And they're encouraging people about the anti-vaccine, and it's worked well. I don't know, nobody knows them, I guess, but the fact is that you need to watch out for this. They may want a constitutional convention so we have a right of choice. And then when you get the right of choice, what does that mean? To kill your baby? How much choice do we want? Watch out for the word choice too.
Unfortunately, so many of those what you might call good words have been conscripted to nefarious ends. That's a provocative observation. And I,
my son says, Mom, you got to know the code words. So yeah. I learned that a long time ago. I asked Ross Perot on the air, how did he feel about a woman's right to choose? He said, Larry King, Larry, what is that? Like, he didn't know. His wife there was a whole wing of the Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas named Margot Perot Wing, where they did the largest third trimester abortions in the West.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got the word said, and they didn't cut me off the air. And he said, I'm all for a woman's right to choose. Well, that was the end of him.
Well, yeah.
And they had built that guy up for years and years and years. But I just wanted to warn people about this National Taxpayer Union dude and the fact that we got, you know, crazy old Cortexes out there wanting to tax everything that moves, but not her. It's always we're, you know, exception to us. They all exceed whatever. I can't talk today. But I just wanted to throw this in. And also, too, they said they had to test it on rabbits before what I'm trying to get at is they replaced the crab blood with mercury. Mercury, right? I know, and you said formaldehyde to stay, all that stuff. But the fact is that they'll take your property in your house if there's something wrong on an animal that they want to save, but they really don't care about us out here.
Yes, that is another provocative observation. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back after this short break.
homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back. Back to the phones. And Tom in Utah, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Morning, Chris. Back on your discussion on... can you hear me okay? Hello?
Yeah, we hear you fine. Go ahead.
Back on your discussion on Roundup. Remember that Dick Cheney... And I'm trying to remember the other gentleman, Michael. I can't remember his last name. There, it's kind of that revolving door situation between the executorships in Monsanto and then, of course, in the government position. Let's see, Cheney, of course, you know who he was, but then there was a, and I wish I could remember his name. Maybe you can Google it. Michael that revolved between executiveship in Monsanto and the FDA. But one thing I wanted to remind the listeners and you of is that since glyphosate is fat miscible, it has an affinity for fat, I should say, like a detergent. So the most concentrated source of that toxin in the consumer's diet, quite frankly, is butter, followed by cheese, and then followed by hamburger, or any of the animal fats is going to carry that. It takes 700 pounds of treated silage to produce a finished pound of beef. So if you're looking to avoid the agricultural toxins, you need to avoid eating the animal fat altogether, because that's where most of them end up anyway. Like I say, those are fat miscible compounds. They attract and concentrate and accumulate in the fats of the animals. And the animals are suffering with this problem too. But imagine, when you have a pat of butter, it's like you might as well go ahead and spray it with Roundup.
What's the basis? Where is that information? Where is that data derived from?
Well, I worked with Dr. T. Colin Campbell at Cornell University on the China study. If you get a copy of the China study, you can see some of the tables that we produced in there that show the industrial or the agricultural chemicals ending up in livestock. Of course, in other food products too, but on the other hand, when it takes 700 pounds of food like corn produce 1 pound of beef, that tells you that the animal fat is going to be the most concentrated source of these toxins in your end consumption. And of course, Monsanto, Cargill, ConAgra, they all understand this, but that's why they've had to put their men in the government positions, is so that you don't understand it. And like you were referring to, they cover up, or they claim that these toxins are not carcinogenic. Well, true, it may not be carcinogenic, but it's sure biologically disruptive. I don't care whether it's, I have two members of my family. I came out of a ranching family. I went into veterinary pathology and human pathology, thankfully. But I have two members of my family that are the victims of the agricultural toxins, the Hodgkin's lymphoma, with my one brother, and he's been struggling with life since the 50s and 60s when we started to use that flood of compounds that preceded or actually was Roundup. I mean, we started out with DDT, then we went to dioxin, or not, malathion, I'm trying to remember the other one, but they're all fat miscible, so they end up accumulating in the fats. And then, of course, when you eat the animal fat, then that fat miscible poison ends up in your fat, and that your body has an extremely hard time getting rid of it. So it's there doing its damage. Like they say, they may be factual when they say it's not carcinogenic, but it is sure disruptive and damaging to other processes of the body, particularly in the brain. You'll notice that the people coming out of that period have lessened intelligence. And the brain is fat. So if you're worried about poisons in the environment, you don't want to have the poisons that naturally attract and accumulate in fat.
Yeah, well, we'll continue on from there when we come back. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Thursday, February 28th, 2019, and we're on the phones. We have Tom in Utah on the line, and you know, maybe I have too many moving parts in front of me. I confess, admittedly, I probably do, and maybe I'm not giving folks enough credit. But when you say glyphosate is fat miscible, I think maybe we need to back up a little bit. I feel like there's a point. It's being made. It's not quite clear. It's a little bit murky. And so do you want to try to maybe restate that in plainer terms? And, you know, the brain, you know, you said the brain is fat. The general consensus is the, you know, take that for what it is, folks. But, you know, 60% fat. And so I understand what you're saying. I think I understand what you're saying, but do you want to restate it so that maybe it's a little plainer?
Well, when we say fat miscible, in other words, it bonds, it's attracted to fat. It actually becomes part of the chemical makeup of the fatty molecule. So that's the big problem is that since this is a foreign material in the molecule of the fat, it interferes with the biological function of that fat. And one of the other things it does too is it binds with calcium and makes the calcium non-conductive. Now, the reason I say non-conductive is calcium is the primary conductor of the electricity in your nerves. So if I can turn the calcium, the soft calcium, into a hard calcium like enamel, like ceramic, then it becomes a insulator rather than a conductor. So what happens with glycosate in the brain, it begins to reduce the transfer electrical signals just like Prozac or fenfluoxetine does. The fluoride just naturally binds with calcium and turns it into a non-conductive. Well, the same thing with the compounds in glycosate. It binds with the calcium and... You know that I was assaulted in D.C., so I don't have my teeth in my sight. Mm-hmm. There was a whistleblower over there.
Yeah. Reminds me of, I've mentioned Dick Gregory a few times lately. There was one of the interviews that he gave, he talked about the, and I keep wanting to come back to Dick Gregory and play some of those clips. I wish that there were, maybe I'll edit those. The profanity-laced rants are usually some of the most informative, unfortunately, and we can't play those on the air. But there was he talked about commissioning a study basically on cow's milk, which reminds me of what you're talking about and how cow's milk is actually not intended for people and just the deleterious effects, and how I believe, if memory serves, that led to the commissioning of a study that was funded or underwritten by a $50 million government grant. Anyway, seems like there's a correlation there. This is what you're talking about is something that I'm not aware of. I'm pretty well versed in Stephanie Sennett's research, and the sort of corresponding research, and it's my understanding that one of the biggest ways that glyphosate, one of the biggest problems is the disruption of the shikimate pathway, and the multitude of effects that has on gut flora. But I understand what you're saying, and I can see the correlation.
See, that's an electrical inhibitor. What that does is it disrupts the flow of electrical signals even within the cell, because everything that happens within your cell is done through chemistry, and of course the primary actions are electrical. So anytime you can disrupt that electrical signaling, you can cause the cell to either dysfunction or die. I mean, everything in our body is electrical when it boils down to it. So if I can turn your wires, it's kind of like metaphorically taking copper wire out and putting in ceramic wire. It stops things from happening, and that way you kill a cell, you kill an organism. It's like doing a chemical lobotomy. That's what Prozac does. It does a chemical lobotomy. The fluoride, fenfluoroxetine, the fluoride compound in that, sorry about that. It binds with the calcium in your system, and then the calcium cannot be an effective conductor anymore. So you become number and number, or dumber and dumber. And of course, the same thing with the glyphosate. It binds with the calcium, and the calcium no longer is a conductor, so you don't get nerve signals going from one part of the cell or one part of the body to another.
Okay, and so I asked you in the last segment what the basis of that, the basis of that data, where can folks find that? You mentioned the China study. Is there a place that Anybody that wants to read up on that can learn more. Where do you find that information? Because like I said, I've never come across that information.
And you won't. Do you know why? Because the work that's been done is suppressed. Like I say, when I testified in Congress and before even Obama in 2009, 10, and 11, they were not too happy about that, so they decided to make sure that I was not functioning anymore.
Well,
I was assaulted and blinded.
That's a well-documented story on this network, but what I'm concerned with here is the information that you just presented to be credible and worthwhile in an effort to share if people are interested, because I certainly am. You know, if it's something that's helpful, we need to be able to source it, and folks need to be able to do their own homework. So how can we do that?
Well, like I say, the China study has excellent resources in it. I can't tell you what page or whatever, but you go into that China study and just look up agricultural toxins or agricultural poisons. If you go into Merck manual, if you find a veterinary doctor somewhere, maybe you can steal his Merck veterinary manual, and there are sections in there that show the challenges both to livestock and as you know by extension to humans when they are exposed to these agricultural poisons. I don't know. The best you can do, as far as I know right now, is to try to Google it. But everything that is, deleterious to the industry is going to be removed from public information. In fact, I'm sitting on information that I have the only copy in the United States. Went into the the publishing agency for the government. They have the items that I have listed, but you cannot get a copy anywhere. If you're lucky, sometimes you can go to a university library, go through the old books in the both veterinary pathology and human pathology, for example, or into livestock management. You can pull those books, if they have not been pulled already, and look and see what we were publishing back in the 60s and 70s and the 80s as these things were being developed. And, of course, I find it really curious that you're referring to the other countries that have banned these compounds. You might have to go to Switzerland. In other words, why would Switzerland, of all people, of all places, decide that Roundup is not appropriate to their community? By the way, who are the people in Switzerland? They're my ancestry. They're the international bankers. So what do they know that you don't know, and what do they know that they don't want you to know? But they're not willing to accept that stuff into their country. So something should indicate that they are smarter than we are. They have access to the true science. You have access to the junk science.
Well,
I wish I could help you more on that,
Chris. Dr. Stephanie Sinnes' research, and I wouldn't call that junk science. One point of clarification before you go, Tom.
No. What I'm saying is the federal government is giving you junk science. I'm not talking about these individuals.
I've established that in a variety of ways in this broadcast alone and many others. So I don't dispute that at all. And I think that's, a well-established fact that we have covered, I would say, ad nauseum on this broadcast and this network.
Right. Excellent.
It's propaganda. Anyway, just one point of clarification. One of the things that I meant coming into this segment as far as just kind of being clear, I feel like, based on what you're saying, especially, concentrated fats, animal fats, butter, all of that kind of stuff, and the mention of the China study in particular, I know that we've had conversations you've mentioned before in previous calls on other broadcasts and so forth, the vegan diet, basically, and the China study makes that point encouraging folks to avoid animal products and concluding that, you know, a high consumption of animal-based foods was likely to result in higher death rates and the Western diseases. But again,
right.
You know, when you say what you said in the last segment, I thought about that, you know, in relation to this point here and how, you know, you can't necessarily attribute, for example, the Western diseases to one environmental factor. And again, that to me is one of the big takeaways from Stephanie Senna's research. People need to do their own homework. And in my estimation, from looking at her research, it is wise and prudent to take a step back and see. I mean, even for the most well-intentioned, but for the person who believes everything that the establishment narrative peddles, isn't it wise and prudent to step back and see that of all the tests done, vaccines, for example, are not tested traditionally, I guess, so to speak. I think I mentioned this yesterday. I did mention this week. Vaccines are not tested for any long-term chronic health problems, and they're tested in a vacuum, essentially, for acute symptomology. And so they're not tested in combination with things like glyphosate, for example. And so when you look at Stephanie Senna's research, and there is a mountain of other research and evidence that corresponds, isn't it wise and prudent to just step back and say, now, hold on a second. Since these things, you know, they're telling me that these things are safe, but they've only been tested on a limited basis in this context. And so isn't it wise and prudent to get more information? I think it is. Anyway, in the same sense,
the actuality is all the Chris. The actuality is the research has really been done thoroughly. When it starts to present a negative picture for their product, that research is suppressed.
Right, and I've talked about that. The number of folks who, what's the big example that I can't think of? You know, the folks that.
Sloan Kettering, Rockefeller Foundation, they know everything that is out there to know.
Sure, and the results are always suppressed. You know, when you have a group of scientists who present information and say, you know, this is harmful, and they say, no, go back. And, you know, which is why, I mean, I've mentioned, speaking of that subject, just in this recent vaccine discussion, I mentioned the Merck scientists suing Merck over efficacy fraud, saying that Merck, the company, says, you know, they tout a certain efficacy of drugs, and the scientists say, no, which is exactly, you know, I mean, that's a recurrent story. So anyway.
Well, all I can say is I prefer to keep you ignorant so you're dependent upon me, and I'm speaking as if I'm Monsanto or Cargill. See, as an old farmer rancher, I'm aware of the propaganda that we were given as producers to get us hooked onto the agricultural chemicals, antibiotics, and the agricultural vaccines. And it'd be the small print if you ever had time to read it, right? But nobody ever had the time to read it. And so the salesman would come along, and by the way, I did work for McKesson for a period, so I know the salesman rap. You're trying to sell the product, so you're not going to tell them about these contraindications, the other problems. And we as farmers and ranchers, in my day, back in the, you know, in my younger days, we're worried about making a dollar. And they're offering us the panacea. You know, we don't want to have cows that have undulant fever. We don't want to have crops that have smut on them. We want to have something that we can utilize and get to market. And, of course, that means that we spray every freaking ear of corn, so to speak. That means, 700 pounds of corn is going to go into a cow, and then that fat miscible compound is going to end up in you. And at a rate, I told my students, I said, I'd rather eat one apple sprayed with malathion than eat a cow that has eaten 800 apples sprayed with that.
And I feel like we're getting to the heart of the issue. And I'm going to have to part company with you there, because I think that's an oversimplification of the issue. And when you're feeding the livestock the same thing that you're feeding yourself, to me, that's a specious argument. So anyway, I appreciate the call, Tom. We're going to have to move on. Folks, stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Final segment of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. You know, whenever I think of the vegan or vegetarian diet, I always think of Romans 14, verses 1 and 2 in particular, except the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat, and the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for God has accepted him. So hopefully the discussion is edifying, and you know, I think there's a danger when we start to wander down dogmatic paths. Seems like it lends itself quickly to the Galatians 2 discussion. And again, you know, I think I mentioned this passage yesterday, but Galatians 2:4, it was because of false brethren secretly brought in who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage, back into bondage, really. And I mean, that to me is, it's a subject that's constantly in view. And so with this topic, you know, with the vaccines, the glyphosate, you know, I mean, think about it. Glyphosate in children's cereals, Cheerios, things that mothers give to nursing infants, this kind of thing. You have to, at some point, you have to acknowledge some kind of, there's something going on here, because a normal person, a healthy, well-adjusted person with any kind of moral compass would be horrified to discover this does what? I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I did that. I would have to, if I discovered somewhere along the way that this product was potentially killing people, we'd have to shut production down and fix that, or maybe scrap the product. How did that happen in the first place? But this persists, and you have government agencies endorsing a product that is known to cause cancer and all kinds of deleterious health effects. And so the point, the reason that I wanted to play a clip of Jordan Peterson, it was the Stratford Festival, the forum talk that he gave back in 2014. It was titled "The Productivity of War," which is, you know, horrifying title, obviously, and it's particularly in view of the subject matter, but he's talking about what kind of psychopathy would actually embrace this kind of mindset and thinking and ideology. What kind of person, what kind of mindset would do that? And he concludes his opening remarks with the idea that you have to, there is the inescapable link to a sort of metaphysical concept of evil. Spiritual, if you will. He says metaphysical, but that's the inescapable reality we bump up against. And to try to remove that element from the discussion is to essentially remove one's understanding of it. You know, again, Baudelaire quoted in The Usual Suspects, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he doesn't exist. If you can remove the kernel of understanding from the discussion, then guess what? You've effectively done what Ezra Pound warned us about. You know, the trick of infamy, or the technique of infamy, is to create two lies and get you arguing heatedly over which one is true.
Do you know
third hour coming up? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.